That's the way Thomas is in John chapter 20. Thomas is one of that core group. But he's just not there that Sunday evening when they had that service, and it just didn't gel with him. I am thankful for the family of God. I'm thankful for the church family. You know, I've had, we were visiting Debbie Frenton in the hospital the other day, and I'll just tell you exactly what she told me. When I was in there, she said, since I've been in the hospital 3 or 4 days, she said, I have not had any of my family come to visit me. But Brother Gary and Brother Ken came in on Tuesday night. I asked them to go and stop in and see her. And then I was in, I think it was Wednesday morning. She just started crying. She said, I didn't have any of my family, but this is my family. The church is my family. See, and that's what this is all about. It's all about a core group of people getting together to love the Lord, to serve the Lord, to be a blessing to one another, to encourage one another. And yet here we've got a fellow named Thomas, who is a good guy. He's a disciple of the Lord. But he missed out on the night that he could have been a blessing to others and demanded special time and special attention because he just didn't want to fit in with everybody else. I want you to look tonight at this fellow named Thomas, and as I told it, I want you to see what happens when you miss the meeting. Thomas was not there that Sunday evening, verse number 19. Then the same day at evening, this is the day of the resurrection of Christ, this is Sunday. The same day at evening being the first day of the week. So this is a Sunday night service. You can't get around. This is a Sunday night meeting of the disciples in the upper room. And Jesus walks in through the walls, walks in through the door without opening it, and meets with them on a Sunday evening. I'm thankful for a church that meets on Sunday evening. We've had folks visit on Sunday evening and said, I drove around all around town, all around Guernsey County. I couldn't find a church on a Sunday night or a Wednesday night that was open and had church. Wednesday night's prayer meeting night. We want to again say, well, our problems are because of what's going on out there. No, our problems because the church doors are not open on Wednesday night anymore. And here was the first Sunday, the Sunday the Lord had risen from the dead, and they got together, but Thomas, one of the 12 called Didymus, was not with them on that Sunday evening. For some reason, Thomas excused himself. For some reason, Thomas exempted himself from the fellowship of the saints in the upper room. Now, we don't know why. But in reading the text, and this is personal opinion, and you can differ, but when I read the text and read what the Lord says, I don't think it's because he was sick that night. Now, we prayed for some folks that are not here tonight because they're not feeling well, all right? I'll be the last one to say, hey, get out of that deathbed and come down here and be in church on Sunday night. All right, there are folks that just can't make it. Now, having said that, let me also say this. Just can we have a touch of reality here tonight? I'm always amazed at folks that say, well, preacher, I couldn't be there Sunday because I was sick, but they made it to work Monday morning. Now you say, well, that's work. Oh, okay. So that's more important. See where we're going? What I want you to get when we look at this thing, we're not laying down some rules, some steadfast. Well, you've got Paul Chappell, the pastor out at Lancaster Baptist. He's got an expression. I read this in his book, Church Still Works. They've got an expression they use. He says, I repeat it over and over. It takes three to thrive. That's what he says. It takes three to thrive. Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. That's how we progress as believers. That's how we advance as Christians. Now, that's not saying that this is some hard, fast rule that's locked in that you've got to be there all the time. We don't take it as a rule. We take it as a mindset. And here's what I see with Thomas. His mindset was, it wasn't important for me to be there. On that Sunday evening, when all the other disciples got together, he felt it wasn't necessary for him to be there. Now, I don't know what his reasoning was. I don't know what his thinking was. I don't know where he was, but I know where he wasn't. He wasn't in the upper room with the other disciples when Jesus came. See, that is the simple truth. Again, it's not a matter of rule. Well, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. Where in the Bible does it say you've got to be there every service like that? It doesn't say that anywhere. They went Monday night, Tuesday night, Wednesday night, Thursday night, Friday night, Saturday night, Sunday night, Monday night, Tuesday night. You see the pattern there? We have dropped back from that, so at least we've got Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. I think the Jewish system is very profound, too, because the day of worship didn't start in the morning. It started at 6 o'clock the night before. Now again, this is not a biblical thing that I can sit down, but I really think we're missing out on the meeting of God on Sunday morning because we're too busy on Saturday night. We spend Saturday night out till 11:30 at nighttime going out and doing stuff that there's nothing wrong with doing. But then we come in on Sunday morning, we're not ready to meet with God. We're not in the mind frame and rested and well and ready to get what God has for us because we got too tired. So the Jews, they started their Sabbath at 6 o'clock in the evening, went to the next night at 6 o'clock. Then, okay, go and do what you want. But here as they met that night, Thomas wasn't with them. I don't know where he was, but I know where he wasn't. I remember several years ago, Aaron was much younger, probably three or four years old. We were at Camp Victory, and she was out there playing on the putt-putt course. And we were out there, the kids were out doing stuff. She's up there playing putt-putt and just hitting it around as a little three-year-old and toddling around there. And she hit the ball in the cup and she went over to get the ball out of the cup. And when she looked down there, there was a big bug in there. I don't know if it was a June bug or what it was, but when she looked like that, she looked back there and she just kind of stood back for a minute. And she said, "I want you to be where I'm not." She said that to the bug. "I want you to be where I'm not." You know, the Lord doesn't want us to be where He is not. The Lord wants us to be where He is. And the night that Jesus met with them, Thomas was not with them. Now, can I say this? His excuse might have been, "Well, I was too busy. I was too busy." This was the Sunday night of the resurrection. A lot of stuff had gone on that day. It was a busy day. But can I say this? It was a busy day for Peter. It was a busy day for John. It was a busy day for Andrew. And they still made it. It's always humorous to me, and as a pastor, we have to be so tactful. We have to bite our tongue till it swells, you know, so big in our mouth. But folks will say, "Well, preacher, I just won't be able to make it to church because I'm going to be really busy." And I want to say, "Well, thank you for letting me know. All of us folks that have nothing else to do are going to be here that night, but since you're busy, you don't have to come." And that's, "Well, I'm busy." Everybody's busy. This life is busy. From the minute we get up in the morning till we go to bed at night, we're going, 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 going. And Thomas might have said, "Well, you know, I'm just too busy." And Andrew and Simon and the others would have looked at him and said, "So were we. Where were you at the tomb? We're the ones that ran down to the tomb, saw it was empty, came running back. I didn't see you anywhere around there. Why are you so tired?" I don't know what his excuse was. Maybe his excuse was, "Well, I can get more by staying home. I've heard that. I can get more at staying home." Did he get more by staying home that night? Did he get more than meeting the Lord and having Him pass through the walls and saying, "Peace be unto you"? Did he get more by wherever he was that night than what he would have gotten being with the believers and gathered together with them? It's all about, again, it's not the matter of the thing, it's the mindset. It's the mindset of the disciple of Christ that we want to be where the people of God are. That nothing else is more important than being there at that time in that place. That nothing else matters more than being in the fellowship of God's people. And I don't know what his excuse was. Maybe he just said this. "Well, you know, I'm not going because John's going to be there. And I know that John, and all he does is sit around and brag about how at that Last Supper he was leaning on Jesus' breast and he was closer to Him than everybody else was. And he's going to tell that story, you know, about how when he said, 'Lord, is, you know, who's going to deny you?' And everybody said, 'Is it I?' He had the inside track. And I just know how John is. I've had people say, 'I'm not coming to church because of this person or that person.' You know, that's really a feeble excuse. And can I say that? It is an excuse. It's not a reason. Thomas missed out on what happened that night because he might have been saying, "Well, you know, Simon Peter, of all people, he's probably going to get up there and try to leave the meeting. And he's the one that said, 'I don't know the man, I don't know the man, I don't know the man.' Why should I go to a meeting where he's going to leave? God's not going to be in that." I don't know what his excuse was, but here's what I want to tell you. Thomas's name shows up in the New Testament 12 times. 12 times his name shows up. All right? 5 of those times are right here in this story in the Gospel of John. So that leaves 7 other times. In those 7 other times, it's 5 different occasions. All right? Matthew, Mark, and Luke tell some of the same stories. So on 5 different occasions, Thomas's name is mentioned, and 4 out of the 5 times, he's in the company of the disciples. Every time Thomas is mentioned in the New Testament, outside of this one time, he's together in a meeting with the disciples. This is the only time he's by himself. This is the only time he misses the meeting. And notice what verse 24 says. But Thomas, one of the 12. Now think about this for a moment. Thomas, one of the 12. How many of the disciples were in the upper room that night? So I'll take it. Kyle, you're always good at this. How many of the disciples of the 12, how many of the 12 were in the upper room that night? 12? Okay. The popular opinion seems to be 10. All right? There were 10 disciples up there, right? Because Thomas wasn't there. Who else wasn't there? So who wasn't there? Thomas and who? Judas. So Thomas was more like who than who? He was more like the one that wasn't there than he was like the ones that were there. Now, was Thomas a betrayer? No, he was not. Was he a sellout to the Lord? No, he was not. He's a good man. He's a good disciple. But by his absence that night, he was more aligned to Judas than he was to the rest of the disciples. That's what happens when we forsake the assembling of ourselves together. Hebrews 10:25 is not there for some kind of lock code to demand you to have perfect attendance at church. It's there to give us the right mindset. Then when we're not there, the atheists aren't there either. When we're not there, the agnostics aren't there either. When we're not there, the lost people. When we miss the regular assembly of church, whether it's Sunday or Monday or Tuesday or Wednesday, when we miss the regular assembly, we're more like the people that aren't there than we are like the people that are there. And I don't think most believers, that's really the group they want to be aligned with. But they do. Those folks that I talked to, God bless their hearts, that were there Sunday, some of them were there Wednesday. I don't remember them being Sunday. And then they said, oh, that was a great message. I wish you were going to be here again tomorrow night, Thursday night. Well, they didn't wish it enough to be there Monday night and Tuesday night. And can I tell you, these folks were not folks that were working those nights. They're not folks that were providentially hindered. They were just folks that didn't make it till Wednesday and then forgot they were having a special meeting and wished it was going to go Thursday and Friday. But they missed out on the whole thing. That's what happens to Thomas here. He misses out on the Lord appearing on that night for what he was doing. And I want you to see, that's the introduction. Now let's get into the message. I want you to see what Thomas missed when he missed the meeting. Look, if you would, at verse 19. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and said unto them, who is that? The 10 that were there. Said to them, peace be unto you. Notice this down in verse 21. Jesus said to them again. Who's them? The 10 that were there. Not Judas, not Thomas, but the 10 that were there. Jesus said to them, peace be to you. Can I tell you this? What you missed when you missed the meeting, what Thomas missed when he missed that Sunday night, he missed peace. Now, I'm not talking about world peace. I'm not talking about national peace. I'm talking about personal peace. Can I tell you this? Thomas went a week without personal peace. I don't know where he was. I've heard preachers suggest that he was out playing Sherlock Holmes. He was out there trying to investigate the resurrection and see exactly where, because he says later, unless I see the nail print in his hand and put my finger, so apparently he was interested in proving this resurrection. He'd only been there that night. So I don't know what he was out there doing, but what he missed for that week was the peace that Jesus brought to that room that night. Notice down farther in the chapter, notice down in verse 26. In verse 26, and after 8 days, all right, that's inclusive, that Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, so the next Sunday, 1 week later, after 8 days again, his disciples were within and Thomas with them. See, he's not a bad guy. He's there next Sunday. He just missed the one Sunday night that Jesus showed up. Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said what? Peace be unto you. Peace to who? Not the 10. Now it's the 11. Thomas got in on Jesus' peace because he was there that time. We never know what we're going to go through. Tomorrow's Monday. You don't know what's going to happen between now and Saturday. Nobody here knows. I don't care if you've consulted wizards or read your astrology chart. You don't know what's going to happen between tomorrow and Saturday. But you know what you do know? You need the peace of God that passes all understanding. You need peace with God. You need the peace of God, and you need peace with God. And you know where that peace came from? It came from the assembly of the disciples meeting with the Lord. Now, somebody could say, well, I can get that peace back home. Thomas didn't get it anywhere else. He didn't get peace that night because he wasn't in the place to receive peace. Now, you know, folks always say, well, I can worship God anywhere I want to on a Sunday morning. I can be out on the lake. I can be on the golf course. No, Jesus won't give you peace there because you're not in the will of God. You're not in the place that God wants you to be. I don't know where Thomas was. I know where he wasn't. He wasn't in the place where Jesus said, peace be unto you. In this world we live in, with the turmoil and the trouble, with the stress that's out there, you and I need the peace that only Jesus can give. And that comes from the collective gathering of the saints, according to the Word of God. Jesus didn't go give peace to anybody else that Sunday evening. He went to the upper room where the disciples were meeting. And that's the place He chose to show up and say, peace be unto you. No one else, no place else, just right in that room. He said, peace be unto you. I want the peace of God. I need the peace of God. I desperately seek the peace of God. Because in this world, there's nothing else that really matters. There's nothing else that really counts. Now, you understand, we've got to be involved in a lot of things. We can't get, but in the midst of those things, we need, above everything else, we need the peace of God. It's His peace that He gives us. It's His peace that He leaves with us. We need the peace of God. Thomas went a whole week, as far as the text shows me. He wasn't there that night. He showed up next Sunday. When he's there this time, Jesus said, peace be unto you. And now he's included with the 10. There's 11. And he gets the peace that Jesus gives. And it came, he lost it by not being there that Sunday evening. What you miss when you miss the meeting. Thomas missed peace. Number 2. Verse number 20. And when he had so said, he showed unto him his hands and his side. Not only did Thomas miss peace, he missed proof. Thomas missed proof. When he said he showed him his hands and his side. What is it that Thomas is going to say a week later when he sees the Lord? Look down at verse down at 25. When the disciples on Monday told them that they saw the Lord Sunday night, the next morning, Monday, they go back to Thomas. They're doing visitation follow-up. Hey, you weren't with us. Where were you last night? And they tell them they saw the Lord. They said, we have seen the Lord. But Thomas says in verse 25, except I see in his hands the print of the nails, put my finger into the print of the nails and thrust my hand to his side, I will not believe. You know what Thomas wanted? He wanted proof. He wanted evidence that Jesus had risen from the dead. And that Sunday night in the upper room, Jesus had showed himself alive by many infallible proofs. He came in and he showed them his hands and he showed them his sign and he showed them the proof that Thomas wanted, but Thomas wasn't there to get it. How many times a Christian says, preacher, what does the Bible say about this? Or what can you tell me about that? And I'll say, you know what? I preached a message on that just last month. On a Wednesday night, a Sunday night, whatever it was. Or Brother Hamblin was here, or the revival meeting, or the tent meeting, and Brother Robinson preached on that very subject. He preached that, and you know what? They missed it. They weren't there. And then the very thing that they wanted to know about, the answer was given, but they weren't there to get it. That's Thomas. He wants proof that Jesus is alive. Jesus comes in that day, and he said, and he showed unto them his hands and his side. Everything that Thomas needed happened that night in the upper room. But Thomas wasn't there. You know, we preach this, and I'm human, so I think like you do. That was just one service. That was just one time that he missed. But look how much he missed in that one time. And again, what I'm trying to point out is it's not just that, it's the mindset that it wasn't important to be there. It wasn't necessary. And I'm not saying this again so that you'll get three to strive, or whatever that phrase, now I can't remember what it is. I'm not saying it to build up the test, but I'm saying it because we need to be where God can give us everything we want. We want proof. We've got questions. We want answers. They come from the Word of God. And they come from the preaching of the Word of God. And Thomas wasn't there to get the proof he needed. He missed peace. He missed proof. Verse 20, the end of the verse. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. He missed pleasure. Then were the disciples glad when they saw. You know what happened in that upper room? Frowns turned to smiles. Sorrow turned to happiness. Disappointment turned to joy. And it all happened in the fellowship of the saints on that Sunday evening, when they got the pleasure that they needed. You know why they're in the upper room. The Bible tells us, for fear of the Jews. Jesus, their Savior, had been crucified. They believe they're next on the list. They're gathered in the upper room. They got the windows boarded up. They got the doors locked shut. They're in there for fear of the Jews. And in the midst of their fear, in the midst of their turmoil, in the midst of their trials, Jesus shows up. One preacher said he should have said, shame on you, hiding up here in the upper room. Instead of being out there like Peter is going to be just in a few days on the streets of Jerusalem on the day of Pentecost, proclaiming the gospel loudly, Jesus showed up that night in that room and he said, peace be unto you. And he showed him his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad. Folks go through life, and life is tough. Life is hard. Life is disappointing. Life is full of trials. And if you want the joy of the Lord to be your strength, you know what the psalmist said? I was glad when they said unto me, let us go unto the house of the Lord. That's Psalm, let me say, I wrote the verse down somewhere, I hope. Psalm 122, verse 1. Psalm 122, verse 1. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. You know what the fellowship of the saints ought to do, should do? It should make you glad. It should make you enjoy God and enjoy the fellowship of believers. Put a smile on your face. Turn that sad to glad. Turn that bad to good when we fellowship with God. We ought to feel better when we walk out of church every night than we felt any time that day. I've told you this. I've said it more times than I can remember. All those years that I worked down at Famous Supply Company, 15 years, pastoring the church at the same time, my favorite service was Wednesday night. I like Sunday morning, I like Sunday night, but my favorite service was Wednesday night, because out of that work week, Monday, Tuesday, hump day, Thursday, Friday, out of those days of the week, that Wednesday right in the middle of it, living out in the world, working out in the world, being around the people I was required to be around for the job that I worked, I loved Wednesday night getting in here and coming inside this church, and I just wanted to get in the church and lock the doors and keep the world out. Because of the blessing it was, and the joy that we restore when we get together with God's people. The psalmist said, I was glad when they said to me, let us come to the house. What makes you glad? Where are you glad to go? It ought to be the house of God. Thomas wasn't. He missed out that night on the pleasure. When the Lord said, see my hands and my sides, then were the disciples glad. He's still out there somewhere doing whatever he's doing, not in the right place, but he's not glad. He doesn't have the joy. He doesn't have the joy. He doesn't have the happiness. He missed out on pleasure. Number 4, verse 21. Then said Jesus to them again, peace be unto you. As my Father has sent me, even so send I you. He missed out on purpose. He's not with the other 10 that night in the upper room. They are commissioned by God to be sent by Him to a lost and dying world. And Thomas doesn't get it. Can you imagine? The Lord's there with these other disciples, the 10 that are there. And He's saying, peace be unto you, and showing Himself to be alive. And they're glad at what they're seeing. And Thomas is missing out on all of it. Then He says to them, as my Father has sent me, so send I you, the 10 of you, right here. I'm sending you. If Thomas had been there, he would have been one of those that was sent. But he chose not to be there. He chose not to see it. He chose not to get the peace. And he chose not to get the purpose. As my Father has sent me, even so send I you. You know who's going to reach the lost world out there? Not the folks. Not the folks that are casual Christians. I read that term this week. A guy defined casual Christian as the one that shows up Sunday mornings. They're going to be in church every Sunday morning. They're going to be there every Sunday morning. They're going to come regular. You can count on them. If they miss, they're sick or something predisposed, but they're going to be there. They're casual Christians. Thomas is a casual Christian that night, while the others are becoming committed Christians, commissioned Christians. As the Father has sent me, even so send I you. You know, I'm discouraged when folks leave Bible Baptist Church. That's just normal, okay? I'm discouraged, but I'm also perplexed. When folks come here for a period of time and get involved in what our church is doing, and I think about this especially on Sunday night, involved in supporting 45 missionaries around the world. And then they get a bee in their bonnet, or something happens, and they decide, I'm not going back again. Kind of like Thomas. Somebody offended me. I'm just too busy. Whatever the story is. They decide to go. You know what they did? They just stepped out on 45 people. Now, they stepped out on 125, but they stepped out on 45. You can say, well, they might go to church that supports missions. Not those missionaries. If they were here and voted to take these missionaries on, it should be a personal thing. There should be a connection between them. Now, if it's just academic, I support missions, it doesn't matter who they are. Okay, I get that. You're more casual about it. But you and I have made a commitment to these missionaries. Brother Ball was here Wednesday night. Brother Gary was telling me that he expressed his disappointment at the churches that dropped him when he came back from England because of health problems. And they just said, we're not going to support you anymore. We didn't do that. We've stayed faithful to him. But those that one time gave the missions here that don't anymore are doing nothing for him. They're not helping. It wasn't important to them. It didn't matter. As long as we support missions, it doesn't matter which ones they are. See, that's casual, not committed. Thomas was more like that. It doesn't matter. I don't have to be committed. I won't be there that one service. I won't really miss anything. And look what he missed. The commission was given. And then look, if you would, at verse 22. And when he had said this, he breathed on them. When I read the text, I don't read the text with animosity toward Thomas and say, that lousy disciple should have been there. When I read the text, I say, that poor guy missed out on the greatest blessing he could have ever experienced because something else was more important. Something else was more demanding. And instead of being in the upper room with the disciples where Jesus showed proof and Jesus gave them their pleasure, Jesus gave him purpose, and now in verse 22 he gives them power, Thomas wasn't there. Now, I know you know the rest of the story. He shows up a week later. He gets there. He kind of gets in on the back end of this thing. That's great. That's good. But he went a week. He missed when God gave all this stuff. He missed that meeting. These other disciples, for years after that, could gather together and they could give their testimony the night they met in the upper room. And Thomas, when you go to Acts chapter 2 and the disciples together, there's Thomas right in the middle of them all over again, just like he should have been all along. He got things right. He got back in there. But whenever they gave testimony about that night in the upper room, Thomas had to sit there silently, not be able to say a word, because he wasn't there that time. He had no stake in it. And everybody around him, without the unspoken thing was, Thomas wasn't there that night. Our absence sometimes speaks louder than our presence. You get that? Our absence speaks louder sometimes than our presence. Thomas was absent that night, and he missed out everything. He missed peace, he missed proof, he missed pleasure, he missed purpose, and he missed power. That's the mindset of Thomas. Now, what did that result in? This is not the outline, this is the conclusion. Thomas missing out on that service that night, what effect did that have on him? Look, if you would, at verse number 25. Then the other disciples therefore said unto him, we have seen the Lord. Can you bring this into modern day? This is Monday. Sunday night, they had a life-changing experience. Monday, they're telling one of the absent church members what happened on church on Sunday. You know what? He's bitter. He's mad about it. He wants them to be quiet. He missed out on it, and it's affecting his personality. You know what he says? Except I see. Except I see. Can you hear the tone in his voice? He says in verse number 25, except I see in his hands the print of the nails and put my finger to the print of the nails and thrust my hand to his side, I will not believe. Remember what I told you before? By not being there, he's more on the side of the agnostic than he is the Christian. He's more with the atheist than he is the believer. And now that's showing in his life. I'll not believe. Except I see. You know what we call Thomas? Brother Eric, you teach him down to the kids, I bet. We call him Doubting Thomas. That's his reputation. For 2,000 years now, that poor guy has been remembered for where he wasn't instead of where he was. And as I said, five different times in the Bible, he's in with the disciples. He's there all but one time, but he is noted and marked for the one time he wasn't there. And he became a doubter. He became a disbeliever. Not an unbeliever, but a disbeliever. Oh, I don't think it was as good as you think it was. Oh, it doesn't matter what happened there. Here's what I was doing. That was his mindset. That was his personality change. That was his character. It all came from not being where he should have been. Look at that last phrase. I will not believe. He doubted. He demanded, except I see. And he denied. I will not believe. Now again, he's not talking about not believing in the gospel. He's not believing that the Lord appeared to the disciples in the upper room tonight. He doesn't want to believe the thing he missed out on. The others were in the upper room that night and they came out. Their hearts were warmed. Their hearts were thrilled. And the next morning on Monday, they ran into Thomas and here's a guy whose heart is cold as ice. Because he wasn't there. He didn't experience it. He didn't see it. Now, folks, again, I'm not preaching this to you to tell you need to be here Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. You should know that anyways. I'm not preaching this to tell you that. You should know that anyways. Anytime the doors are open, you ought to be here. Revival meetings, tent meetings, missions conferences, every time the doors are open, don't be a Thomas. Be one of the 10, not one of the 2 that weren't there. But I'm not saying it because of the one service. I'm saying because of the mindset. Here's what happened by Thomas. When he didn't think it was important to have to be there all the time, you know what it did? It affected him. He became a doubter. He became a denier. He said, I'll not believe. You know why folks are lukewarm on God? Because they've never gotten their hearts on fire. Church is not important. The Lord is not important. It's not a priority. It's a convenience. If nothing else comes up, if I'm not too busy, no friends come in from out of town, if everything's just fine, if everything's fine, I'll be there. Folks tell me I hear this a lot of times. I'll call somebody and say, well, preacher, I'm just going through some things right now. It's a difficult time in my life, and I can't make it to church. And here's another one of those things that I just want to reach out and slap somebody. Because what they're saying is the people that do go to church are the people that don't have any problems. And everything's going fine in their life. That's why they're at church. If they were like me and they had troubles, they wouldn't be able to come. You know what they are? They're one of the 2, not one of the 10. Now, I'm not saying they're not saved. I'm not saying they don't love the Lord. I believe Thomas did. But he got his priorities mixed up. And he missed out on the proof and the pleasure. He missed out on the purpose and the power. He missed out on the peace because he wasn't there. Let's stand together tonight with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. And again tonight, folks, I hope I'm making myself clear. I'm not preaching this to build the Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night attendance. It's not about attendance. It's about attitude. It's about commitment to God. It's about saying, yes, Lord, I want to be with your people every opportunity, every time,